Hallelujah. I am ready. I am ready. I can't say it doesn't make me a little bit nervous. Sure. Hallelujah. Because I think the Lord has big and better things in store for us. And I think one of the biggest threats to our calling and to our destiny is to become comfortable where we are. Do you believe that? I think if we become comfortable where we are and satisfied and are no longer hungry or wanting more, then we settle sometimes, I think, for less than what we can have and can be in the calling and purpose of God in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. So I need him sometimes to take me to a place where my trust is outside of my box, without borders. Amen? Hallelujah. So that song always encourages me, it speaks to me, and it reminds me that my trust is in him, my hope is in him, my strength is in him, my peace is in him, my destiny is in him. Amen? Hallelujah. And that my family is in his hands, my health is in his hands, my my finances are in his hands. And we trust him with that. And we give him that and say, Lord, I trust you. Hallelujah. I trust you to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want to just speak this morning. Today is Mother's Day, and I want to speak an encouraging word to the women and celebrate the women of this house, not just the moms, but to celebrate women. Because you may approach this holiday from all kinds of different directions. You either love it or you hate it. Amen. It's just one of those things. You either love it or you hate it. And but how many know that all of us are, as women, have a purpose and a place in the calling and giftings of God? And never underestimate the power of who you are and who God has called you to be. Amen. I think we're so guilty sometimes of saying, well, you know, that's a great woman of God, and I'm just a... I saw something the other night when I was looking through some study. It was the lesser women of the Bible. Where they can, the lesser women of the Bible. In other words, the lesser known. You know, they weren't as popular as, you know, maybe the Esthers or the Sarahs or, you know, when we hear some of the, you know, their names, we think, great women of faith. But how many know they all had struggles and issues and problems too? What you'll find out about the Bible is it's all about real people. And real people have problems sometimes and have struggles and issues. And really, if you look at all of the men and women of the Bible that God calls to do great and mighty things, they weren't the mightiest, they weren't the most noble, and they weren't most qualified. And they weren't the most holy. Somebody say amen this morning. So you got hope. I'm in a room full of righteous people this morning. I'm in a room full of mighty people. When I spoke at the conference in Tennessee, I told them down there, I said, I have traveling with me 12 of the most powerful women that I know. And I believe that. Amen? Because you are a force to be reckoned with, and you are powerful. Hallelujah. And I don't think we threaten one another's identity. How many know I am not a women's liber? I'm all about men opening the door for me or waiting. I'm not going to get offended if you want to open the door. You know, I'm all about, I love that kind of stuff. So we don't challenge one another's identity. Amen? Your identity should not be threatened in your relationship, should not be threatened by your husband or your wife, but you should complement each other. And in the body of Christ, we should complement each other. How many know we are not in competition? There are no lesser women in this house, but there are some mighty powerful people in this room today, men and women. And for that, I am very grateful to those that the Lord has joined me with. Amen? Hallelujah. Because if we realize that we have been joined together for a purpose, how many know we are a body? And we are the body of Christ. But just as we are a body that functions in this house, we are part of an even greater body of Christ. Amen? That functions all over this world. So we are part of something really beautiful and something special. Hallelujah. And so I apologize to the ladies up front because I didn't give them my list of notes, scriptures. So they're awesome. So they're powerful women back there. Go ahead and bring me Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. If you can get it in the message, that'll be great. If not, I'm going to roll with whatever you bring up there. All right. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, and the Message Bible if you get it. Hallelujah. How many know there is a point and a purpose in gathering ourselves together, being assembled together and being part of a body? It's a sense of community, the sense of community that we have, of the flowing together, the joining, the unity. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging, loving, and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on. I love that. Especially as we see the big day approaching. How many know we spur each other on? We provoke others to good works. We challenge others to step up to something even greater. Have you ever had somebody in your life that believed in you more than you believed in yourself? Because if you haven't, you need somebody. You need somebody that says, you know, that'll continually speak into your life and say things and encourage you in such a way that it spurs you on to do even greater things. Amen? Nothing beats a compliment that makes you feel like, yeah, I really did do all right, or I feel like I really can accomplish this. And I told this little story down in Tennessee when I was there. One of the early on conferences where I spoke in Lake City, I got up to speak and minister, and it was just one of those times where I felt like I couldn't really just rein my thoughts in like I wanted to, you know. And there's sometimes when you preach, you know you hit it, and sometimes it's like, eh, you're all right, you know. And sometimes when you think you didn't hit it, people say, oh, that really ministered to me. I'm like, really? Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, I mean, anybody, if you've ever been behind the microphone, you just know that there's sometimes, you know, that you know, maybe you're just because you preach to yourself more one time than the other. I don't know, but so this was one of those times, and I was ministering and preaching, and bless their hearts, some of the ladies had traveled in, missionaries, and had come in, and so they were exhausted, and I had a whole front row of people that was asleep on me, and I think, man, I have just preached the house down tonight, you know, and so I kind of leave thinking, oh, man, I don't know, I just feel like I just didn't do my best, you know, and all of that, and there was a little lady in the audience, and her name was Ollie Phillips, and I love this lady to death. And she came up to me the next day, and she said, where's that girl preached last night? Where's that girl that preached? She said, where's that girl that preached? And I said, well, you mean Miss Lola? And she's like, no. And I said, I'm naming all these other women because I thought, surely she's not talking about me. And they're like, well, you're talking about me, Miss Lisa. And she said, yeah. She said, I just want to tell you, you set the woods on fire. You just set the woods on fire last night. She said, you just preached, you just set the woods on fire. And I said to her, Miss Ollie, you'll never know what that does for me. That this little lady took the moment to come back to me and say, man, for her, I just set the woods on fire. And for me, I felt like I had blown it big time. And I've always loved her. And so she was a friend of mine. And she said, now, don't you tell anybody I told you this, but you're my favorite preacher. And she had preachers in her family. So she really meant it when she said, don't you tell that I told this. And so, but she was an honorable woman. She was a woman who was just of little stature. She was a very quiet, and you probably wouldn't know she was in the audience, but she was a powerful woman in my life, and she was a powerful voice in my life. And what I mean by that is don't underestimate the power that you have to speak into somebody else's life, to bring an encouragement to them, because it may be the moment where they think, I am the worst mom in the world, I am the worst wife in the world, I am the worst teacher in the world, I'm the worst preacher, whatever it is. But let me know, sometimes you need somebody that will spur you on and say, man, you got great things in store for you. You have powerful things in store for you. You're more powerful than you know. And I say that all the time, but we're more powerful than we know that we are. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit about the lioness in you this morning. And then I got another scripture, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to connect them all together. So we'll just go for a little bit, and then we'll hang it up. Do you have the clips ready? All right, let's give that a try. I brought some clips. And I apologize in advance. I was going to say the worst technological person. I'm not going to say that about myself, but I am not a technology guru. But I think I have a couple clips that I want to show. And these girls just love me when I do this to them. So if it don't come up, it's okay. I can preach without it. And so it's just some things that I had penned from Pinterest that I thought was powerful. And when we ministered in Tennessee, we ministered the theme there was the lion and the lamb in the field of your soul. It was talking about the harmony, spiritual harmony. And how many know sometimes we're a little bit of a lion and sometimes we're a little bit of a lamb?
Yes.
And you need both. You need both. There are sometimes where meekness and the quiet, still small voice and the quiet spirit is what we need. But how many know there are sometimes the scripture says the righteous are bold as a lion. There are sometimes when you got to step up and step out in boldness and say, I'm just going to step out in the boldness of the Lord. Hallelujah. And be the lion that he has purposed or called me to be. Now, how many know we are married to the lion of the tribe of Judah? Hallelujah. That he is our husbandman and that he is... the powerful picture of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And how many know if he is the lion that makes us the lioness? Amen. And so when you look at the lion and you're thinking about I looked up some of the characteristics of a lioness. How many know sometimes we need to awaken the lioness in us? We talked about this a little bit last week. You know, sometimes you got to just step up and step out and be bold in what we declare and in what we see and not be passive sometimes about things. But the lioness, number one, she's the bride. We are the bride of the lion of the tribe of Judah. It says that lions hunt together for the provision of the pride. They stick together. The lionesses do the hunting. They greet and groom each other. They are each other's mirrors. I loved that thought that they greet and groom each other and that they are each other's mirrors. Now, what do we do when we look into the mirror? You see yourself, you groom yourself, but what are you mostly looking for? Most of the time you look in the mirror to make sure I don't have broccoli in my teeth. My mascara is not run. I don't have a rooster tail from where I slept on it, right? I mean, most of the time when you're looking in the mirror, you're looking for the things that you need to fix. But how about if we ever become each other's mirror and the reflection that we see is everything that's right about you instead of everything that's wrong about you? You know, what we've done for many years is we look into the scriptures and we look and point out all of the things that we think are wrong about us, when really what we need to do is point out all the things that is true of us. He said, you're salt. He said, you're light. He said, you're the righteousness of God. He said all of those things about you. That's what we need to look into the mirror of the word and realize who he said that we are. Amen. And, you know, understanding that we are, as we look at each other, I'm not here to show the flaw in you. I'm here to show what's right in you, and we become each other's mirrors. And in so doing, how many know sometimes you can have people say 100 good things about you, but you let somebody say one negative thing, and it's like it cancels out everything that was positive if you put any confidence in what they say. Amen? You know, you can feel like you're just, you know, like you're just on top of the world today and have somebody say something negative to you, and it's just like, really? Just takes the wind out of your sails, because words are powerful. And if we understand how powerful they are, then we'll use them more wisely. I love this. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. How many know if you want to be a lioness, you need to surround yourself with some lionesses? We've talked about this before. How many know giant killers train giant killers? David was a mighty man. And Chris Chambers shared this one time on Wednesday night, but he had giant killers under him. Because they followed a man who knew how to slay giants. David killed a lion and a bear. But how many know he trained a Benaiah that also killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day? I mean, we have to surround ourselves with people who challenge you, who speak positively into your life, who strengthen you. Hallelujah. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. Next one. I think we have about 11 of them, so... Can we get to the next one or not? You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. I breathe in my courage and exhale my fear. Courage doesn't always roar Sometimes it's a quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I'll try again tomorrow. It's pretty powerful. Sometimes it's not always about the roar. It's about you just get back up again tomorrow and you go again. Because look who's looking. There's a little one underneath the her. The greatest fear in the world is of the opinions of others. And the moment you're unafraid of the crowd, you're no longer a sheep. You become a lion. A great roar arises in your heart, the roar of freedom. How often are we affected by the opinions of others? But if we ever come to the place where his opinion is the only one that matters about us, how powerful that is. She rises to gather strength. She rises to greet and groom others. She rises to hunt. She rises alongside other lionesses. She rises to move the young to safety. She rises to comfort enemies that threaten, to confront enemies that threaten the pride. She rises to walk with her king. The most powerful thing about that is she rises. Never stay down, to rise. Never be ashamed of a scar. It simply means you were stronger than whatever tried to hurt you. Scars may appear, but they don't have to appear with pain. They just says, I made it through some things. I made it through whatever was trying to hurt me. She got some scars on her nose there. Find your inner lioness. Find your inner roar and never let it go, ever. Thought about quitting, then I noticed who was watching. It's powerful. Anybody ever been there? Thought about quitting, then I noticed who was watching. You can't do it. Doesn't matter what's in front of her because of what's behind her. Powerful. The lion's behind her. Is that the last one? Those were just some things that I just thought were powerful pictures, powerful visuals. If you're a Pinterest person, you can find them on Pinterest, but there's some beautiful quotes on there. But it says that lions greet and groom each other. They are each other's mirrors. They have face-to-face contact. You can talk or text, but don't miss the value of face-to-face contact. Amen? We are in a society and in an area now where I was at a tea party thing yesterday, and the woman was talking about, you know, back in the day, that's what we did for entertainment. We talked on the phone way more than we do now, you know, when you had little kids and you didn't have money and you stayed home, you just talked. If you got the kids down for a nap, you might get a little conversation with somebody. But we sometimes lose the art of face-to-face contact. Number one, because we're so busy and now it's just so easy to text or send a message. But how many know face-to-face contact is important, especially in relationships? Hallelujah. But as a body, their strength is for service, not for status. The strength of a lioness in a pride is for the service of the pride, not for status. They nurse and train each other's cubs. I love that. Because we're not in this by ourselves. And I love the fact that, you know, it takes more than just us in training and raising. I mean, no, your cubs are downstairs being ministered to right now. If you brought children with you today, your cubs are being ministered to by other lionesses and lions that are in the house. Amen? And so I love that we nurse and train each other's cubs, because how many know your cubs and my cubs one day will run our country? They one day will be our doctors, our lawyers, our leaders. So it behooves me not to just train up my own child in the way that they should go, but also to help train your children, and you help train my children. Somebody told a story the other day, and it was about a doctor who had worked with a baby when it was born, and they didn't think the baby was going to make it, but he worked and worked and worked, and this baby lived and did well, and he grew and was healthy and made it through life, and this doctor ended up being in a car accident. And when he was in this car accident, the paramedic who came to work on this doctor was the boy that he had worked and worked to save his life. So you never know when you're sowing into the life of the child. Nothing you ever sow into the life of anybody, but sow into the life of a child is ever void or wasted. Amen? Guy Rice Dowd once said, "We are all the molders and builders of dreams. Whether we build positive dreams or negative, but our words, our actions, and the things that we do mold people into who they are." And when you think about that, that's a powerful responsibility, because the power of my words in my mouth have the ability to elevate or to knock down somebody, right? We use our words. The scripture says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. And so we sometimes use our words not in a way that's uplifting or building up, amen, but it tears down. And then it takes that much longer to build back up. How many know we have the power to speak life into our children, to encourage them, to use positive words, positive thinking, and be able to nurture them and sow into them for the generations yet to come? Hallelujah. No limitations. There's no limitations on what God can do in your life or in the life of your children. Amen. We live in a country that if you want it bad enough, you can have it. You can achieve it. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, I didn't come from the right family, or I don't have the right amount of finances, or I'm not smart enough or intelligent enough." How many know the resources are there if you want it bad enough? Hallelujah. If you're willing to work hard enough, if you're willing to study, if you're willing to do what's in your heart to do, there's really not a lot that we can't accomplish. Hallelujah. But your babies are important to me. They are my future also. Hallelujah. Lions live in the light and hunt in the dark. They have a night vision. They have a sense of being able to see in a dark time or a dark season, but yet being victorious in that season. They're not scared of the dark. The dark is scared of them. I love that. They capture the light and make it vision. Lions actually have a way of capturing the light and then making it vision to be able to do what they need to do. And they have prowess. They each find their gift and talent and hone it for the benefit of each other to make the pride strong. We're truly better together. How many know all of us have different giftings and talents and callings and challenges, and we complement each other when we come together? Because we all have something that we can impart, that we can show. In the Old Testament, in the scriptures, they had something that was called the art of the apothecary. And what that was the blending of the oil and the spices that they would use in the holy oil and the anointing oil and the temple oil and all of the different spices that were together. And they would blend them, and it would make one fragrance and one incense in the house of the Lord. Do you know that when we come together, we all bring our own individual spice and our own individual oil and anointing? And so that when we come together in the house, there's a little bit of cinnamon and there's a little bit of frankincense and there's some myrrh and there's all of those different ministries in the house. And when we really let those ministries flow, I really believe that amongst us there's healing oil in the house. Amen. In your vessel, there is the anointing power of the Holy Spirit that as we begin to release it in the house. How many know we're not just spectators in worship? We are participators. And when we begin to participate in the anointing and the flow, how many know when you flow, the worship team will sing better? Amen? When you respond, they respond. When they respond, you respond. How many know it's a drawing? There's a pulling, and there's a flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that when we come together, it's not, "Lord, what can I receive from you today?" But what can I input? What can I impart? How can I minister? And who would you send me to? Hallelujah. So that the Lord ministers through us as we minister to one another. Hallelujah. Scars on the nose mean you provided for your cubs, that you've come through some things. Anybody in here have any scars this morning? Internal, external, whatever they are. Hallelujah. It means you came through it. You live through it. You were stronger than whatever tried to kill you or tear you down. You didn't let the enemy win. You fought back. You have tenacity. You got some experience behind you. Hallelujah. You had to fight for some ground. Lions and lionesses are fierce yet gentle, loving, protective, and strategic. They're ferocious one moment and loving the next. Can you say amen? Lionesses become pregnant at the same time so that they can raise their cubs together. They support the lion because he is the future of the pride, and his safety is absolute. If you mess with one lion, you mess with them all. Lionesses. And you help protect your own against the hyenas and the things that laugh and mock. Hallelujah.
If God called me, God will equip me, and he'll make a way. And I stepped out anyway, you know, whether anybody believed it or not. And thank God I'm still here today, and I still do that occasionally. But if I would have listened to voices,
amen,
you know, I would never have stepped out, you know, and tried it. But I thank God that he does give us the strength and the power to do what we're called to do. It must be something that's built in us as people of God or women of God or men of God that says, you know what, I'm going to do this. You know, if it falls, it falls. But if it doesn't, then I've accomplished something. And I thank God for that, that inner peace that he gives you that says, you know, you can do this.
You can do it.
I got your back. You can do this.
Amen. Amen. You know, we sell ourselves short a lot of times because we say, well, what if it doesn't work? Or what if it's not successful? Well, the opposite of that is, what if it does? What if it does work? What if you are successful? What if the Lord was speaking to you? You know, we sometimes don't step out in faith when the Lord shares something with us or puts something on our mind or the Lord speaks to us and we don't step out in that. So, well, what if I'm wrong? What if it's just me? What if it's just me thinking that? Well, what if it's not? What if the Lord really wants to use you as an instrument of his glory and an instrument of his healing or in whatever way? And we limit ourselves because of our own abilities and we look at our own abilities, but it's not about our ability anyway. It's about his ability anyway. Amen. But as I was thinking about some of the different, you know, somebody tell me some great women of the Bible. Esther, Shiphrah, Puah, Deborah, Ruth, Tabitha, Mary, Mary, Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Any others? Who was Shiphrah, Puah? They were the Hebrew midwives. When you start thinking about great women, and I ministered on this one time here before, so I won't go through that whole sermon, but they were two women named Shiphrah, Puah. Anybody know who they are? They were Hebrew midwives. But we don't hear much about them, and sometimes we think that they are, you know, little women and that they were lesser women in the Bible. They weren't the great, but how many know what their role was? Pharaoh said, when these Hebrew women get ready to have babies, I want you to destroy all the male babies. You can keep the girls alive, but destroy all the male babies because we fear that the Israelites will become more powerful than they are, than we are. And so their role as midwives was to do away with all the male babies that were born to the Israelite. But for a Shiphrah and a Puah that said, no, not going to do it. And they said no to Pharaoh. And so when the babies were born and Pharaoh come back and said, well, what's happening? That, you know, the command was that you were supposed to do away with the male babies. And they said, these Hebrew women, they're not like those Egyptian women. When they get ready to have babies, they don't wait on us. And they just go ahead and have their babies and they're strong and their babies are strong. And I mean, the scripture says, and he made them, their houses, destinies. He made their houses prosperous because they were faithful to the calling of God in their life and did not take the voice of Pharaoh and heed the voice of Pharaoh. How many know there's sometimes in your life you just need to say no to Pharaoh? No, Pharaoh, you're not getting any more of our babies. No, Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Somebody that stood up and said, in the face of a king or a face of adversities, just said, no, I'm not going that way. I mean, no, we have a Moses and an Aaron because somebody like a Shiphrah and Puah said, nope, I'm not destroying baby boys. We hear about Moses and how great he is, and Aaron, how great he is, and the great leaders that led them out of the Exodus and all of that kind of stuff. How many know but for a Shifra and a Pua that feared God, there might not have been a Moses or an Aaron or a Joshua or so on and so on. Amen? Your choices, your decision, and your stand for the Lord matters. Don't ever let anybody, you know, say to you, you say, well, I'm just a mom, or I'm just a Sunday school teacher, or I'm just a teacher, or whatever it is, to say that your role doesn't matter. It matters. Hallelujah. When you stand up in the face of adversity and said, we're not going this way. We're not yielding to this. Anybody know who David's mom was? Mrs. Jesse. We know Jesse. We know David's dad, right? But did you ever think about who David's mom was? We don't really know. And when you go back and look, there's all kinds of speculation. But nobody really knows who David's mom was. But guess what? He had one. He had one. And she must have done all right. Because when the little ruddy lad had a lion and a bear that came to get to destroy the sheep, he said, I took the lion and I smote the lion, and I took the bear and I smote the bear, and I'll do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine. And one of the things, you know how I love the story of David. It's such a powerful picture of our relationship in Christ and just, you know, the will and purpose of God in our life. And even in the midst of mistakes and adversity, how many of you know it's not over till it's over? Hallelujah, that God raised David up and he never forsook him, even in his failures. But there's a scripture in Kings, you don't have to go there, but in Kings it says, and after David goes out and he fights the giant Goliath, and he slays him, and then all of a sudden the rest of the Israelites, they're charged now, buddy, they're going to go fight, and they're all about the battle, because David now has stepped up and he's slain the giant. And Saul says, who is this boy? And who is his family? And he sends his servant Abner, I believe it is. He said, go find out who's his dad. Who does this child belong to? Who's his family? And the scripture says that David comes in to the presence of Saul. And here's what I love, with the head of Goliath still in his hand. How many know there's sometimes in some situations you got to march into and say, here I stand with the head of Goliath in my hand. What do you need? I'm at your disposal. Hallelujah. How many know that head of Goliath said, I'm a giant killer? Yeah. Hallelujah. Anyone know whose family are you from, young man? Who trained you to be who you are? Because you got some raising. You got some upbringing. You got somebody who sired you, has poured into you, because everybody else is saying, you know, this giant, we don't know what to do with him. He's so big, and they're looking at the fearful things, but David just marches in with the head of Goliath still in his hand. I love that. To the point that he said, who is your family? Hallelujah. It's important what we sow into the next generation. Hallelujah. Who was Samson's mom? Nobody knows, right? Mrs. Manoah. Manoah was his dad. But how many know she had to believe past her own inabilities to conceive? How many know Sarah had to believe God beyond physical circumstances? We got to believe sometimes beyond what we see with our own natural eyes and believe God for what he wants to do in our lives. Another woman of the Bible, and this woman has always puzzled me, and her name is Huldah. Does anybody know who Huldah is? And I love this scripture. I've looked at this many times, but Huldah was a prophetess. And she's in 2 Kings 22. If you want to bring that up, Steph, we'll maybe try to read that. And I'm just going to hit a couple things yet, and then we're going to go. But Huldah was a prophetess in the time of Josiah the king. And she was married to Shallum, and he was called the keeper of the wardrobe. She was a prophetess in the days of King Josiah that was consulted by the high priest Hilkiah concerning the book of the law and its authenticity and interpretation instead of the prophet Jeremiah. It was in the time of Jeremiah and some other prophets. Judah and Israel had been worshiping other gods of the Assyrians. The scrolls were found at the bottom of a money chest that was to be used to renovate the temple in Jerusalem. What happened is when Josiah began to become king, they decided they were going to take the silver and start to rebuild back some things. How many know silver speaks of the redemption or the redemptive work of Christ? Hallelujah. And so he had a vision to build back what had been lost. And what had happened is the people had become so associated with the Assyrians that they began to follow their worship. And they started building gods and worshiping other gods and idols and all of these kind of things. And it was all agricultural gods, and it was all these different gods. And what Huldah does, when they bring her the book of the law, she begins to read from the book of the law and gives them wisdom about what God is about to do to the children of Israel because they have walked away from his ways. And they consult her because they said, if anybody will know, Huldah will know. And I love that because she didn't necessarily go to the other great prophets. They went to this woman who knew about the book of the law and knew how to interpret that. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for some grandmas, some moms, and some women or ladies in your life that knew God and could speak into your life and tell you? My grandmother was one of those people. My grandmother Ethel, if you didn't want to know, don't ask her. Because sometimes you'd find out even if you didn't want to know. She could tell you right up front, and she could set you straight. Amen. How many know we need that sometimes? We need that sometimes. And I was thinking this morning as I was sitting here thinking about powerful women that have been in my life, that I have been blessed by. You know, one of the first women that probably that I know of in my life to speak into my life spiritually was Sister Dorothy McLean, who was a female pastor and who helped us establish this work here, and the licensing ministry that we do out of this was because of Reverend Dorothy McLean. It was a minister that was in my life. And then, you know, I was blessed with grandmothers who knew the Lord. My mom, a powerful woman of God that have, I'm so blessed to be able to have a matriarch, not only as a mom, but also as my spiritual mentor that has been able to speak into my life and encourage me and may I say push me to step into some things that I did not want to, was not confident in stepping into. Amen. And I'm thankful to her for that, although at the moment I probably was not. Now, let me know, you need some women that will just speak truth into your life and push you into what you need to do sometimes. Hallelujah. And so then when we had a radio broadcast, and they would say, Lisa, you're speaking on the radio broadcast. And so I would speak in the radio broadcast, and then we would go to jail ministry, and I would have to preach at a cell in a jail ministry, and I wasn't even old enough to be in jail, you know, and I was only like a teenager, and I wasn't old enough to be in jail, but I'd have to go. You know, I said, Dad, Mom, I don't know what you got me here for. I don't have a clue about how this stuff works. You know, I got saved when I was 3 or 4, so I really didn't have a whole lot of history behind me. I hadn't broken too many of the big 10 commandments that I knew of, you know, and so here I am doing jail ministry and things like that. But how many know God taught me things in all of those seasons of my life? Thank God for people who can go into the jails, minister. How many know they're not full of bad people? They're full of good people who made bad choices, who needs to know God's not finished with them. He's not giving up on them. It's not over till it's over. Hallelujah. And so then they would put me up in front of jail ministry, and then they would put me up in front of the platform or put me in a Sunday school class. Hallelujah. How many of they pushed me to be what the Lord called me to be? I tell you all the time, we were drug babies. Our parents drug us to church. They drug us to revivals. They drug us to tent meetings. They drug us to jail cells. They drug us to nursing homes. They drug us to street ministry. We probably have done most all kinds of ministry that I can think of. When we played, when we were kids, when we played pretend, we played church. We lined doll babies up on the steps at Andy and Tammy's house, and we had church with the doll babies. The steps were the pews. When we went swimming, we baptized each other in the pond, and that's what we did because that's what we knew. Yeah. Amen. That's what we were taught. And so I'm thankful for women in my life and men in my life, men like Scotty Todd, who would push me to be who God called me to be, my dad, who would push me to be who the Lord called me to be, wise voices that could speak into my life. What I love about Huldah, not only was she wise in the word, she was a teacher, they think, in the college. She understood the scriptures and she spoke truth. And when she did, they knew it was truth and they obeyed what she had to say. But she was also married to the keeper of the wardrobe. And I love this concept too. Her husband was the keeper of the wardrobe. What he did was keep the royal garments for the king and for the queen. If nothing else you got to know this morning, that you're married to the keeper of the wardrobe. It's not our righteousness. He has clothed me with his righteousness. Go to Isaiah 61, Steph. How many know we sometimes have to put off our own garments and understand we've been clothed with his garments, his robe of righteousness. It says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, but he has covered me with his robe of righteousness and made us who we are. How many know in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, God came to them and clothed them with something greater even than what they could clothe themselves? Hallelujah. He's not there to expose your shame. He's there to cover your shame. And the only way your shame gets covered is because there's been an animal sacrificed. Amen. He covered them with animal skins. How many know that because the lamb was sacrificed, you've been covered with a whole new garment and you don't have to walk in shame and condemnation? King James is okay. Whichever one you bring up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captains and the opening captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That scripture Jesus quotes in Luke. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And then here's the wardrobe. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for the ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Aren't you glad this morning that he's the keeper of the wardrobe?
Hallelujah.
That he took my... He took my ashes and he gave me beauty. He took my mourning. He gave me the oil of joy. He took my spirit of heaviness and he gave me the garment of praise. How many, he has clothed us. He has dressed us. He talks about putting his armor on us and how we are dressed in the armor of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead just a little bit farther. And they shall build the old waste and shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself. I love that scripture when I think about being clothed, that he gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many know sometimes you got to get up in the morning, change your clothes? You got to put on a garment of praise. You got to get the oil of joy. Hallelujah. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not your joy, it's his joy. And in his joy, there is strength. Hallelujah. And so he takes our soil garments, our sackcloth and our ashes, and he gives us a robe of righteousness, a crown upon our head. Another translation calls it a garland or a tiara. I mean, sometimes you just got to adjust the tiara, put tiara, the crown. You got to adjust it a little bit, put on the click-clacks, get your robe. Hallelujah. And remember the princess that you are. Remember what you were born to do and who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. One of the greatest examples of being clothed, I believe, by the keeper of the wardrobe is the story of the prodigal son. And you know the story. And in closing, we'll just talk about this. And then, but how many know the prodigal son received his inheritance and he took it and he spent it in riotous living? But in the hog pen, the scripture says he came to himself. And he remembered father's house, and he said, are there not servants in my father's house who have it better than I have it? Isn't it funny that sometimes when you find yourself in the hog pen, the very thing you left that you thought you despised is the very thing that you desire the most? Hallelujah. And when he remembered what he had lost, what had been gone from him, he said, I will arise And I will go to my father and I'll say to my father, I'm not even worthy to be your son. But if I could just be a servant in your house, at least I would have something to eat and I wouldn't have to hang out with the pigs and the pig food. And I wouldn't have to smell like the pig pen. But the most beautiful part about the prodigal son is not that the son decides to change his ways and come back home. The most beautiful part is that the father says, and when the father saw the son afar off, he ran to him. That tells me that daddy had been looking for him all along. Hallelujah. And he trusted the investment he had put into his son. And when he said, I'm going to keep watching because my son's going to come to himself. And when he comes to himself, I'm going to be ready because Papa, it ain't all about the son. It's all about Papa, because this is what I lost and this is what has been found. I lost my son. What was dead is now alive again. And he has returned back to me. And he returned back thinking he would just climb in and be a servant. But oh no, when you left Papa's house, you were a son. And when you return to Papa's house, you're still a son. So go ahead, get my robe, get my shoes, get my ring, because the party and the celebration is about what I lost. Hallelujah. It's all about what I lost and what has been found. Hallelujah. How many know Papa, what would happen is when a son would disgrace his family like that and go away, that when he would try to come back, the village people would come out to him and they would shake shakers and they would throw him at his feet and they would say, you've been cut off. You've been cut off. But aren't you glad that Papa God doesn't allow the village people to have a voice in your life? But he comes out and comes to say, and when he ran to him, I mean, the father came to the son before anybody else could intercept him and gathered him up and brought him back in, gave him the robe, gave him the ring, and gave him the shoes. And said, go ahead and kill the fatted calf. Let's party. Yeah. Because my son who was lost now is found. He who was dead is alive again. Hallelujah. How many know we have the power to speak life and death? And what seems like it might be lost or broken or estranged from you right now, I just declare unto you, don't quit looking. Don't quit searching. Don't quit thinking about it's lost, it's futile, it's done, it's forever, it's gone. But God has the power to raise up what seems like it might even be dead. Hallelujah. And restore our sons, our children, our generations to what they were called and purposed to do. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. I don't give up hope on anybody. Amen. One of the greatest, I preached a sermon one time, and it was, and the demonstration that I use is when we have, if you have a milk jug, anybody ever had a milk jug and try to wash it out with soap suds, and then you can't get them soap suds to come back out of that jug? The more you shake, the worse it gets, and they just don't come out. Or if you've ever had dirty water, and you try to get it to wash out of there, it just keeps... I mean, the best way to get those suds to come out of that jug is just keep pouring clean water. Same way with dirty water. If I had a glass of Kool-Aid here this morning, and I set it down, and it was red, and I just kept pouring clean water into that cup, what's eventually going to happen to that cup? It's going to eventually run clear, because everything that's clean is going in there and pushing out everything that's not. And what happens sometimes, we want to pick out the dirt particles, or we want to pick out the things that we think aren't good or aren't pretty or aren't productive. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. Keep pouring in the clean. Keep pouring in the love. Keep pouring in the life, because as you pour life into your children and your grandchildren, let me tell you, you might not think it's working, but it's working. As you pour in, it begins to wash out everything else that's not profitable, that's not good, that's not productive for them. So don't think it's not working. Don't think that you got to give up on them. Don't think it's past their time. Just keep pouring in and keep pouring in and keep pouring in, and eventually you'll see a demonstration of the power of God in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. You are the one that can pour in to them. Do you know when we come together, that's what the Lord does in our life? He pours in faith and takes out unbelief. He pours in courage and pushes out fear. Hallelujah. He pours in trust and takes out my disbelief, my unbelief, or my failures. Hallelujah. As he pours into us as a willing vessel, and he begins to cleanse us from the inside out. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.